Well, my brothers and sisters, I greet you a good morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see you here today. Thank you, choir, for blessing us with this song. And we are here to remember him. I am Steve Jurgle, and I always will be. And it's good to be here at Herman Baptist Church again. Many years ago, I was here for a men's event, right, Larry? Men's event, right? And I want to tell you that Herman has a really, really good reputation. Y'all are doing a good job. You're well-known throughout our association, well-known throughout our county, and I always hear some good things about what's going on here at Herman Baptist Church. Some of you have asked, what am I doing with my life right now? Okay, a few of you have asked what I'm doing. All right, I'll tell you the truth. Nobody has asked. But I'm going to tell you anyway, having been released from our position at Lakeview Baptist Church by the Lord, we started a leadership institute called the Jurgle Leadership Institute, which is pretty creative, don't you think? And what I do is I get to share with people in churches or in industry or in schools leadership principles. And so I have a number of presentations that I can share by way of helping people to become leaders or move up in their leadership abilities. A couple of the talks are Bible-directed talks, one of which is called The Look of the Leader. It's a study of the book of Nehemiah, and it's a five-part study, so usually that's done either in a long Saturday or a Friday night and a Saturday on the five parts that Nehemiah put in place by way of being a leader and doing a remarkable work in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And if you'd like to hear more about that, you can get on the website. It's just about up, www.jurgleleadership, and you'll be able to learn more about that. Perhaps you'd like to host a conference and talk about leadership. It's not just for pastors, not just for Sunday school teachers, but anybody in an area inside and outside the church in leadership. Well, have you all had a very good Thanksgiving? And I know the fact that you're here proves that you've got something to be thankful for. And Thanksgiving is a time when you look back and you look forward, but mostly you look back and you reflect on the things you have to be thankful about. And a lot of times you find yourself talking about what it was like when you were a kid. Now, by show of hands, how many of you remember the kids' table? You remember that? Yeah. That was the table you were assigned to because you were a kid and you weren't at the position in life where you were old enough to maybe behave yourself enough to go to the adult table and be involved in the adult conversations. And so the kids' table, a lot of times it was a card table or two that was folded out, put on the side. Generally, how many had the piano bench there? Okay, yeah, a bunch of you know, remember the piano bench, and you may or may not have wanted the piano bench, but that's where you were assigned. And something happened over the years. You kind of outgrew the rest of them at the kids' table. And you felt that, you know, maybe it's time for me to go to the adult table. But you don't get to vote. They do. And so the time does come when maybe mom or dad said, hey, you know, this year, you're going to sit at the big table. You're going to sit with mom and dad, Uncle Roy, Aunt Martha, all of us at the big table. And there's a level of excitement that rises up in you at that invitation. You feel like maybe this is, and you don't know this word or phrase, but it's a rite of passage. Now you're going to the big table, and you're going to talk big talk. And you don't have to put up with those pesky brothers and sisters and cousins at the kids' table. What an honor. You see, when you got invited to the adult table, the big table, they were saying, you're old enough now. We want you with us. You belong with us. And you find out who you are in relation to who they are. You're not an adult. You know that. And you wouldn't assume that. But you're closer than you have been. And it's an exciting time. Maybe you don't reflect on that very much. But I do. And I remember when I got invited to the big table, and I was excited about it. The big table, with legs that were permanent. and food that isn't thrown and spilled, and adult kind of talk, conversation, and subjects. Well, I want to point you to a passage of Scripture that may seem a little unusual. I've never heard it preached around communion, but it has a lot to do with the Lord's Supper. It has a lot to do with what happens when you, listen, you get invited to the table. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45. You know the story leading up to this. Joseph has 11 brothers. They don't like him. They sell him into slavery. He goes off to Egypt, and he lives his entire growing up years in Egypt. And he becomes very prominent in Egypt. You know the story. And he is second in command over all of Egypt. Basically, he saves Egypt. And so because of that, all the accolades come his way. His brothers know nothing about what's going on. They think that he's either moved into obscurity completely, never to be seen again, or he's dead. His father believes he's dead. His mother believes he's dead. That's because that's what the boys told him. And so from Jacob's standpoint, daddy's standpoint, there is no more Joseph. From the boys' standpoint, there's no more Joseph. You know what I mean? So they have a famine that takes place in the area where Jacob and the boys are living, and they have to travel to Egypt to get food. You know the story about how Joseph tricks them, and they get sent away and brought back and condemned and accused and all of that. And then comes what you would probably label the big reveal. Joseph has decided he's going to tell his brothers who he is. They don't recognize him. He's been Egyptified. I made that word up. He's been Egyptified, so they don't recognize him. He wears different kind of clothes than they're used to. Probably some type of makeup. His hair's different. And they just never make the connection that this possibly could be our brother. He speaks Egyptian, but he understands Hebrew. And he is going to reveal himself to them. So will you please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God? We're going to read Genesis 45, just verses 1 through 4, and bring application to the table we're invited to this morning. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man left with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come close to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, we pray that we would open our hearts. And we pray that you would speak so loudly that we can't mistake the voice of God from all the other voices and the distractions that are around us. And so, Father, we do pray for light. We do pray for clarity. We do pray for change as only you can bring. We'll thank you for that in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So you get this situation where he reveals himself to his brothers. They have no idea. Now the Bible doesn't say this, but he says, "I am Joseph. Is my father alive?" They're dismayed. I think maybe more of a modern word is they had their socks knocked off. They were shocked. Wait. Joseph? Did you say Joseph? Our brother, Joseph, you're Joseph. Wait, let me get this straight. You're Joseph. None of that is in the text. I'm putting that in there. But you get the idea. These guys are shocked. And then he says, listen, this is what he says to his brothers. This is what God says to you and me on a continual basis. Come closer to me. Come close. I want you up close. Because where you're sitting, where you were assigned to sit, was separate. You guys are shepherds. We Egyptians don't like shepherds. Shepherds are detestable to us, and so we don't sit together. You're in the same room. You're part of the banquet, but you're not close to me. But I'm inviting you now, shepherds. This Egyptian is saying, come close to me. See, the Egyptians thought they were holy, they were righteous, they were above everybody else. And in a lot of ways, they were, from a social standpoint. But they also had disdain for shepherds. And that's why they were sent down to Goshen when they came into Egypt and became part of the Egyptian population. But Joseph is saying at this point, come closer. No, you come closer. Don't be afraid. Come closer. And when you come closer, you'll be able to see that, yes, I am your brother. Yes, you do belong with me. You don't have to be afraid. Now, they didn't have communion back then. They didn't have the Lord's Supper.
Originally, they didn't have what founded on
known as the Passover.
To represent.
And what this table originally was founded under is the memory, the representation, and the symbol of deliverance from Egypt. Because after Joseph died, the Egyptians forgot what he had done for them. And they enslaved all the children of Israel. But God heard their cries, God saw their problems, and God brought deliverance through the plagues of Egypt. And that particular night when the death angel came, if the blood of the lamb was found on the doorpost and lintel, then the death angel would pass over and not bring death into that family, into that home. And that's what the word Passover means. And it means that the death angel passed
inviting
over.
Why?
Because of the blood
closer.
Of the Lamb. And because of the Lamb of
Jesus,
God, which takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slain for the sins of the world, because of that, the blood of the Lamb could be placed on your doorpost. And when that time comes for physical death to visit you, spiritual death will not visit you. It will pass over you. Joseph had to tell his brothers who he was.
Different places.
Jesus told
he
his disciples.
In John 1:29, what I explained to you just
meant, behold, look,
pointed
the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But I believe communion also shares with us
this is
who we
are.
And in Romans 8:16-17, Paul explains to us, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God.
The country, churches all around the country.
Don't make this mistake. No, we're not. You see in
marquees
in church all around.
It's not popular to say
all around
that.
The country. We're all children of God. You were born
and just became.
We're not. I'm sorry. I know human did not
say
make
that.
You a child of
but
God.
But just because you're a creator of
and
creation
became,
of God.
Because
yes,
you became
that's true.
But you're not a child of God.
Child of God.
Made a creation of God.
Jesus Christ
yes, that's
your
true.
Savior.
And you believe in him. And you put your faith and trust in him. And Paul says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit
God and
that we are children of God. And if children, heirs
if
also,
indeed we suffer with him, so
heirs with God, heirs of be glorified with him. And so the communion table, the Passover table, the Lord's Supper is a symbol that because of
the
blood of the Lamb, and in our case, because
of the blood of Jesus Christ,
the death angel
will pass over us.
And he gave his blood.
And it's
for us
that Jesus Christ,
so that we wouldn't have to experience death, so that we would, in fact, have an opportunity
to
come closer
on your behalf.
And understand that, now we're going to take communion together
because of what he has done
on your behalf. Now we're going to take communion together, the Lord's Supper. And whether or not you're a member of this,
you are.
We're going to take communion together, the Lord's Supper. And whether or not you're a member of this church, you are welcome to participate if you are a member. And whether or not you're a member of this church, you are welcome to participate if you are a member of his family. If you've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, participate if you are a member of his family. If you've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you and I, even though we don't know each other, we're
brothers.
Family. If you've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you and I, even though we don't know each other, we're brothers. We're sister, brother and sister in Christ. That means
and
that you and I, even though we don't know each other, we're brothers. We're sister, brother and sister in Christ. And we're part of the family. And we're sister, brother and sister in Christ. And we're part of the family. And some of us come from places far away. Others maybe come from the back door of this church. But because of what Jesus Christ has done and our connection to Him, it draws us to the table in communion with each other. Now, you know what? You did not, you didn't open your door on Thanksgiving morning and put a sign out, free turkey, did you? Did anybody do that? And just invite strangers in? No. People came by invitation. People came and they had a great meal at your house. Some of us had a great, great, great meal, still digesting. But we had a great meal, but the meal was surrounded by people who came in by invitation. And this morning, you are invited,
if you know the Lord Jesus Christ,
around the table. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, and he says this, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup
rightly.
And so when the deacons pass the cup and they pass the bread
rightly,
we're going to hold it and not partake of it until we partake all together. And so while you're holding it there, while you're listening, while you're preparing your heart, just go through your mind. See if there isn't anything that you need to clear up. See if there isn't, listen to me now, see if there isn't anything between you and God that is keeping you from coming closer to Him.
Communion.
He is inviting you. Come close to me.
Just like we are going to be together in this.
We're going to be united in this. But see if there isn't anything hidden, maybe overt, in your life that you have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, this is between you and me. This is caught in us. And we don't have the fellowship that we should have because of what I've done, said,
to the Lord,
thought, acted out, whatever I did.
Kings will come
but
down.
It's your time to come close. And so if the deacon comes down, now, friends, you may have a young one with you who hasn't accepted Christ yet. This is a wonderful time to explain to them why you got to have a snack at church and they didn't. It's a great time to tell that granddaughter, grandson, son or daughter, nephew, niece, that little one who hasn't come to Christ yet, about the wonderful story of deliverance that we get in Genesis chapter 45 and following, about the plagues of Egypt, about God's judgment on sin, and about freedom that you find in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so perhaps this will be the day you get an opportunity to lead that young one to Jesus Christ by explaining him all these things. So as I said, when you receive the cup, when you receive the bread, it's time for you to go into a time of prayer, time for you to think on your life and think, is there something that's getting in the way of me getting closer to the Lord God Almighty? And then we will partake together as a family. Thank you. are designed for the children's table, but we got them covered. God's holy word tells us that on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he was with his disciples in what we've labeled the upper room. He held up the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This bread symbolizes my body, which is broken for you." And likewise, he held up the cup and he said, "This cup symbolizes my blood, which is shed for you." And then he said, "As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you show forth that you remember what I have done for you." Let's partake together. Well, I have to confess to you, I love football. I really do. Coached football, played football. I just enjoy football. In fact, I think that there's only three reasons that you should have a TV. Those reasons are NFL. I love football. I love the Panthers. I beat up the Jets just today. But, you know, I have to tell you that as I grew up watching football, there were some teams that I liked for a while, and then there was a change in the coaching, or I didn't like the quarterback, so I didn't root for that team anymore. Or there were some that I never liked. Then all of a sudden, for some reason, a new owner came in, new management, new leadership, maybe a favorite guy that I liked, got traded that team, and I began to root for that team. But I never liked the Raiders. I just never did. They were not one of those, yeah, see, amen, sister. Give us a testimony. Anyway, they were just, I didn't like any of them. And I'll throw out some names, Jack Tatum and Lyle Zato, you know, Ken Stabler. I just didn't like those guys. They were the dirty group of the NFL. And then my son went to work for the Raiders. How could this happen? There's 32 teams. That's the one he went to work for? He's a strength and conditioning coach now at Sacramento State University in California. We keep sending him messages that we have schools on the East Coast too, but he never receives that the same way we want him to. But here's the deal. He went to work as an assistant strength coach for the Oakland Raiders. I didn't like them until my son went there. And see, wherever the son is, it changes the feelings of the father. And I hope you get what I'm segueing into. Wherever Jesus Christ is, Almighty God's heart is drawn there. And if you have Jesus Christ living through the Holy Spirit in your life, then the face of Almighty God is turned toward you. And I began rooting for the Raiders because of the Son, my Son, our Son. And I really believe that God roots for you when you become a child of His through His Son. And there may be some here this morning that have never made that profession of faith. You've never embraced the offering, the invitation that God has given you to come closer to me through Jesus Christ. And we're going to give you a chance to do that. If you want to come forward as we sing this song, it's an invitation hymn. It's your invitation, called "I'd Rather Have Jesus." You see, all of us can sing that song, but my hope and prayer is that we will mean that because we see that we would rather have Jesus than anything that would get in the way of us coming closer to Him. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing this invitation hymn, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." And I hope that's your heart cry. I hope that's the song of your soul this morning. But if you've never made that commitment to Christ, we're inviting you to come forward. We would love to share with you how a person becomes a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a son of Almighty God, a daughter of Almighty God. partners in ministry with Jesus Christ. And so as we sing this song, you come. Make that commitment. Perhaps you want to come and have prayer over you. Maybe there's something completely unrelated to what we're talking about today. Then you come as well. And myself or one of these deacons will be glad to pray with you over what is on your heart this morning. Let's pray and let's thank, and then accept your invitation as needed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done on the cross. We thank you that you are constantly saying to us, come closer, come closer, come closer. And we pray that our motivation would be to get close to you. Even this morning, even through remembering what you've done for us by partaking of the bread and the cup. And so, Lord, we pray that you would have your way. And if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl here who hasn't accepted you as their Savior, that you would work on their hearts and minds, and you would speak loudly enough for them to be able to respond.